So I told the people, I said, look, the Lord is very gracious, and he knows our frame. And that's a point, okay? The Lord knows our frame. He's not a hard master. I saw this YouTube clip that went viral. There was this preacher down here in the States, I don't know what denomination, Baptist or something, and some of the folks in his congregation fell asleep when he was preaching. And he jumped down off the stage and went on a rant. How dare you? He was at the top of his voice, how dare you fall asleep when I'm preaching? Right? But be careful what you do in this media day and age, because people got cell phones, right? And they recorded that and it went on YouTube and it went viral. Okay? So just be careful what you do from the pulpit. But the thing is, that's not the Lord Jesus. He's very gracious. He knows our frame. And so I told the people, I said, look, if you're sitting in a meeting and it's the ministry meeting and you feel drowsy and so on, you know, just go for it. You know? Like, you know, if you just put your head down, you know, go ahead, Emil. You put your head down for a minute, right, and let it sweep over you, and then you'll get the closing point, right? Okay, which is the important point, okay? The rest is just filler, okay? No. So, what happened was, I was preaching a couple of weeks after that, and in the middle of the message, the sister got up and she walked out. So, oh, what did I do? You know, sometimes I can run off, and maybe I said something wrong, you know? And then the meeting was over, and she came back, and she said, Brother Brian, she says, I wasn't offended by anything you said. She said, I was getting really, really drowsy, and I remember what you said about letting it, you know? So I went out of the car, and I put my seat back, and I went to sleep. So be careful what you say, right? Okay, so Peter was asleep. The Lord knows our frame, and he's very gracious. You know, he's a gracious master. That's my point. And so we see in verse 7, and we just continue on with this theme a little bit. In verse 7, it says, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side. I love this. Love this. Because, you know, the angels of the Lord don't do random independent things on their own initiative. Okay? They are his ministers to do his word exactly as the commanded them. They don't deviate, you know, they do exactly what the Lord has told them to do. And again, a little bit of sanctified imagination here. This angel comes into the jail room and the light comes on. His light, that doesn't wake Peter up, you know. If any of you guys have teenagers, you'll know that repeated calls and turning on the light does not wake up. You have to get physical with them, okay? And so it is with Peter. But this angel, like, he smites Peter on the side. You know, and that word is patasso in the Greek, and it means to a strong blow. Like, not just, you know, like a boom, you know, you can feel it. Joey, I can give you a demonstration. No, just a... Okay, it's a strong blow. And so this angel must have got some word from the Lord. When you go down to get Peter, you're going to have to do something to get him up. Okay? Because the Lord Jesus knew Peter. I mean, on earth, you know, the Lord Jesus would rise up a great while before day. We see that in the Gospels. And, you know, and then the disciples would be all sleeping, you know, and he would arouse them and wake them up and everything, and they're ready to pull out to go into the next village, and they were ready to go, and Peter's still there. Right? And the Lord would come back and give them a little like this, right? So he told the angel, this is what you're going to have to do with Peter, and it's exactly what he does. But it says, and he raised him up quickly and told him to put on his coat and his sandals. I love this. Again, the Lord knows our situation. He cares about our, even the little things, you know, like our shoes and our coat. And don't think that our Father in heaven and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ isn't concerned about the little details in our lives. Big details like being in prison and being on death row, you know, he knows about it. But little details like your sandals, you know, and your coat and these type of things. Every hair of our head, he said, falls to the ground and is known by our Heavenly Father. And I don't know where they went, but he knows where they went. Every hair and every sparrow that falls to the ground is known by our Father. And so we find that Peter gets up and he follows the angel out. And he says in verse 11, now I know for sure that the angel of the Lord has delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from the expectation of all the people of the Jews. But now verse 12, we should notice. And when he had considered the thing, and this is what I like, in connection with the prayer meeting. And when he had considered the thing, you know, Peter wasn't just, you know, mindless, you know, and just, I got to get out of town now. I got away, you know, I got away from Herod, to get away from Herod. His first impulse, let's put it that way, is to go to the prayer meeting. And as we look at this in verse 12, it says, and he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Now, this tells me a couple of things. One thing it tells me is that he knew the saints would be praying. That's one thing. And he knew where they would be praying. So there was a habitual thing, you know. He couldn't text them, you know, and say, where are you guys meeting tonight? Are you guys meeting tonight? No, he knew where they were, and he knew that they would be praying. That's lovely. When he considered the thing, you know, it says in Acts chapter 4, verse 23, we get something there. It says in verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company. Peter and the other apostles, being like they went to their own company. The natural instinct of the believer is to be with the saints, isn't it? Natural instinct. I don't believe in these Lone Ranger Christians say, I'm saved, but I don't go anywhere, or I don't fellowship. What's that all about? And prayer and the prayer meeting is one of the foundation pillars of the church, of the assembly. Prayer, fellowship, breaking of bread, continuing steadfastly in these things, and the apostles' doctrine, and so on. These, if we don't have, if one of these things is missing, it's not a functioning assembly, you see? And so we need to keep it up. I've heard of assemblies where they've actually dropped the prayer meeting. If you drop the prayer meeting, you've dropped the assembly. You know, the assembly in Philippi was started at a prayer meeting. And so even if it's two, he says, if any two on earth agree, he's speaking in the context of Matthew 18 of our gathering together. If any of two on earth agree in my name, it shall be heard of my Father and done for them in heaven. So let's keep it up. And we see this wonderful pattern from Peter that he comes to the house of Mary, who's actually the sister of Barnabas, son of consolation, and the mother of John Mark. Now, she was must have been a very godly woman, you know. She opened her home to the saints for fellowship and for prayer. And that's a lovely feature that we can have as believers. And her son was Mark. Now, just for the young guys, let you know who this Mark was. Well, I'm not going to go into all the details of it. Just the fact that he was on a missionary journey with the Apostle Paul and with Barnabas, his uncle. And he got something troubled him. Perhaps he became afraid, and he went back home to Jerusalem. And then Paul said, I can't take him on my next missionary journey. He's not trustworthy. But later in Paul's ministry, we find in his later epistles where he says that, take Mark, he's profitable for ministry. And then we find he wrote our second gospel, the Gospel of Mark. And it's so lovely, we see this, that the one who was the unprofitable servant becomes the profitable servant who wrote the gospel that portrays the perfect servant. How lovely to see these things in the Word of God. You know, young people, the Word of God is amazing. That's what I'm saying. Do not pass over the details. And the more you're familiar with it and some of the details come together, you see it's a living book. A living book. And so Peter goes to the prayer meeting. The assembly prayer meeting is like the index of the health of the local assembly. It really is. It really is.